Brendan, Duncan, lucky to have you in studio again, so welcome. Thanks for your time and effort and driving all the way through here and coming to educate the audience again.
Thanks, Willem. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you for the welcoming.
Welcoming to this set, my set.
To your set. There you go.
Listen, so we're talking about rain harvesting again, the brand itself, its products. We're speaking again on a few aspects of the fact that South Africa is a water scarce country. And whatever factors may contribute there too. The fact is we are a water-scarce country, and the fact is that if we don't put drastic measures in now, we're going to have a problem very, very soon. Mm. And there are, a conglomerate of solutions that can be put together, and rain harvesting or rainwater harvesting certainly is one of those. And that's why it's so lucky to have you two in the studio, because you guys are taking rainwater harvesting to a very next level.
Yeah, thanks, Willem. Yeah, I think you're quite right. And then obviously the water crisis, the things that we're seeing in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal in the big cities, you know, from a water crisis point of view, is nothing compared to what we see in some of the smaller towns and cities around South Africa. So there's a real problem. Mm. And unfortunately, unlike electricity, there's no silver bullet answer. You know, we've got to find the right solution for each different client. And rain harvesting is going to play a huge role in that.
Massive. Mm. But before we get to all of those finer details, let's do a quick overview again of the brand itself, the company itself, Rain Harvesting.
All right, so a couple of years ago in looking for sustainability options, I did some extensive work through some of the bigger companies, commercial companies, looking at options as opposed to council water. So we looked at rainwater as an option and borehole and grey water. So when you're looking at sustainability, you've got to look at all those options. So basically backup water was one of the first options that came out, and everybody was just, you know, putting tanks in and connecting council water. But then obviously with infrastructure dropping so badly and we're having so many problems, people have no water for 12, 15 days. Mm. So they're going and they're saying, okay, what do we do next? Where do we go and look? And so they say, okay, well, fine, let's look at borehole. And you know what's happened in boreholes, and you know what happened in Cape Town. And obviously with Joburg being sort of an acid mine drainage sort of under the ground, you know, from all the mining that we've done, boreholes become quite an issue. And it's very expensive and it's a lot to clean. So rainwater comes into play when people are now looking at alternative sources of water. And rain, for me, is the easiest way to get water into tanks and to be reused, not necessarily drinking water, but mainly for toilet flushing, washing cars, filling pools, irrigation, that sort of stuff. So hence, that's why for us, I think rainwater is going to be the cheapest option for most people that they can afford, because borehole is very expensive and grey water is also quite expensive. So, yeah.
But just on rain harvesting as a business and its presence in South Africa, Rain Harvesting is an Australian company, and they're active across the world. So they're obviously active in Australia, New Zealand, and areas around there, India, Mexico, the US, South Africa, so all over the world. And this business is about rain harvesting, nothing else. It's not a sign line for them. It's not something they do by the by. It is their business. And so over the last 35 years that they've been in business, they've become the real world leaders and world experts in rain harvesting. And in South Africa, Duncan, myself, and Mandy are their partners in South Africa at the moment. And we're busy growing the brand and the product range here in South Africa. They do have a presence here, so the stock is here in South Africa. Mm. It's available through a distribution center in Gauteng. Further than that, there's a number of retailers that are stocking their products. I don't know suppose we're not going to give them a plug on this on this podcast, but there's a number of the large retailers and some smaller retailers that are stocking the product.
So it's basically be bigger franchise, the franchise brands of supply stores and, yes. and retailers and merchants, as well as your more your local ones and your more independent stores as well.
Correct. Yes. And it's growing all the time. So so we've got some national brands, some regional brands, you know, the big, big names that that everybody knows and is aware of, as well as, you know, a couple of little mom and pop shops.
Mm. So from a brand perspective, also our vision is the, if you call it our slogan, you know, our why we get up every day is helping people collect rainwater.
Mm.
And we want to show South Africa and Africa how to collect rainwater. And by using our products and our designs and stuff like that, that, you know, people can feel that they've got, you know, they're becoming part of a movement, if you want to call it, saving the planet, you know, and doing those things.
Yeah, saving the planet. But also the fact is that here in South Africa, one of my questions to you would be is why is rainwater harvesting so important in this country specifically? Yes, saving the planet, but here in South Africa, what makes rainwater harvesting so important here? Why? I mean, we spoke about the water crisis, and that affects various areas. It doesn't affect only urban areas, but also your and your suburban areas, but also your rural areas.
Just so in connection with that, you know, rain harvesting, using it for alternative sources. So let's say washing machines, washing cars, filling your pool, flushing your toilets. That takes the pressure off the infrastructure.
Mm.
And with us having this urban expansion of more and more people coming into South Africa, more and more people are required to have water. Our infrastructure hasn't grown to that value yet or to that size yet. And it's overloaded.
Mm.
And we haven't done maintenance and all sorts of things. So people are looking to alternative sources to use, yes, but then it puts such an impact on the environment. So imagine using rainwater as opposed to, you know, just throwing it down the drains, and our drains haven't been maintained properly. So there's this pressure on the system.
Mm.
And typically rainwater is seeing if you collect, you take that pressure off, which is.
Yeah, and just to add to what Duncan has said there, Willem, we have a fairly unique situation in South Africa in that there's a whole lot of people that have access to really good, clean water. Although that's becoming a bit sketchy at the moment, you know, with the challenges that we're facing. But we also have a huge community of people that have no access to water.
Mm.
We still have that, you know, people that have to walk to a river or a dam to go and collect water, and that the amount of time and effort that takes. And as Duncan often raises, the dangers, because it's very often women and children that are going to collect the water and the dangers that poses yeah. to them.
Mm-hmm.
And rain harvesting is one of the things that can be done on a decentralized way.
Mm.
You know, so we can get out very easily into rural areas where there's no electricity, no water, where you can harvest the rain.
Mm.
So it's very unique in that. And then something that people tend to forget about is stormwater mitigation.
Mm.
So, you know, with a climate crisis or the
climate change
or whatever it is you want to call it.
Some people call it global warming.
Global warming. So what we see there is that rainfall patterns are becoming more erratic.
Mm.
So we have, and we've all experienced it, I think, we have these massive storms, and then we have long periods where it's dry, and then we have massive storms yeah. again. And so what happens with these massive storms is that they cause flooding.
Yes.
And that leads to a whole set of challenges. We could probably do a whole podcast on the challenges that poses.
Mm-hmm.
But collecting that rain helps to mitigate those challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a massive rainstorm at my home and I'm able to collect 5 or 10,000 liters of that water, then the amount that gets flooded and wasted and run off is dramatically reduced. So that's definitely one of the other things. And then the last thing I want to say is, and I think all South Africans need to pay attention to this, it's going to cost a lot of money for our government to fix the infrastructure.
Yeah.
And we know that they're struggling with a budget. So that money's got to come from somewhere. Now, if you look at the cost of water in South Africa, it's still very low. But what people generally don't know is that that price of water has gone up by something like 1,600 or 1,700% over the last decade or so.
Yeah.
Those stats are available. Anyone can go and check that. So progressively, our water is becoming more and more and more expensive. And this water that falls out of the sky is completely for free.
Free of charge. Yeah.
You know, once you've installed a rain harvesting system, which doesn't cost a huge amount of money, then you're collecting water for free for pretty much the rest of your life. So it's definitely something that people need to think about.
I think, you know, you've touched on so many interesting aspects of why it's so important. I mean, the fact that it's free water, the fact that we've got a water crisis in South Africa with the water infrastructure. But then there are things like nobody thinks of the impact on the stormwater when we have these big storms. That's something that the general public, we don't think about that. Unless it's people like you guys who are in the business of rainwater harvesting and know the impact that it has on a stormwater system. Hence, it's so lucky to have you on the podcast to educate the plumbers. I mean, especially the plumbers who are listening. And if, even if the consumer is listening to this podcast, it's also an education and information for them. But especially to the plumbers, because I keep reiterating the fact plumbers are in the fortunate position of already being trusted service providers to their list of customers. And if they can come up with solutions, you know, they not only they're expanding their own service delivery and service delivery options to their customers, but they are also providing solutions to their customers. I mean, who better to ask for a solution if you know that we've got problems than your already trusted service provider, your plumber, who's already fixing your burst pipe or replacing your geyser for you, and you ask him, listen, but don't you have a solution for this?
So it's a unique skill that you can add to your range of skills already as a plumber. And let's say, for instance, now you look at installing a rainwater system. So now you're using your gutters and you're using the water that is in during the rainy season and putting it into tanks, which is important. Then the other thing that we don't think about is that there's the Joburg, we've got the dew factor. So we've got all the dew that drips onto the roof every winter. A lot of that stuff goes into the gutters. And if there's no rain system, that also goes to waste.
Yes.
Then particularly like maintenance plumbers, guys that install geysers, stuff like that, most of the time they're putting their overflows from their geysers into the gutter system. And once again, if it's no rain system, it doesn't, it goes to waste again. And so those are just scenarios where, you know, you can have a simple dry system and then you can move your way to a wet system. And most of the time people think of tanks just underneath the gutter and that's it. But if there's so much more to designing a system that you can now design for 100,000 liters of water underground or at the bottom of your garden where you can have almost like a water plant, if you want to call it. And people don't think about that. They don't know that there's that plumbers can actually use that as to their advantage and now create a whole, you know, new sort of business. Then the other thing that people don't think about, especially the local plumbers, so now that you're young plumbers coming through from the urban and the rural areas and they work in the locations and stuff like that, we've got a product called a Total Rain, which is a built-in self-cleaning rain head, first flush into a tank. And it can be a small tank. There's a little business there creating and installing those in the urban. And now people that don't have water, especially in the locations, especially in the places that don't have water, get access to water.
We actually had that conversation, Brendan, offline before we started recording. Duncan and I had a discussion. And it was something interesting that he mentioned was, and you mentioned it too, he just reiterated it, that there are areas in South Africa, there are communities in South Africa that don't have access to municipal infrastructure, the municipal water reticulation systems that constantly supply to them. But they have a school built there, and that school have massive roof capacity on that can, you know, capture thousands of liters of rainwater.
So we're busy, sorry, Brendan, we're busy with a project up in Bushbuck Ridge, with Tools for Life, which is
Rothenberger's a charity division. Yeah.
And so with Debbie and them, we've partnered with them, with the Department of Agriculture, to upper school in Bushbuck Ridge, which has got no water. They've got 600 kids at this high school, no water. And there's no council water even running past the front of their building. So they have to go and look for sources of water. Yeah. Now imagine coming in there and doing a harvesting product and a project and then getting the community involved. And you know what does that lead to? It leads to the school teachers coming back. It leads to the kids being able to have decent classrooms. It leads to the community getting involved. It leads to work in maintenance of the buildings, which creates, you know, the next level, which could be a university and you know, and it just uplifts the whole community.
It restores hygiene, it restores dignity.
Dignity.
I mean, we can't go without water, despite the dignity of you 100%. Know, the hygiene, and because you don't have water, we can't live without water. We need water.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Willem, this is such a massive topic, you know, to just you know, as Duncan was saying with Bushbuck Ridge, I did a chat very recently with a whole lot of young up-and-coming plumbers in down on the South Coast. And these plumbers mainly come from a community in Umzumbe. And there's one tap in the community, one tap. And so every day people have to get their containers in a wheelbarrow or whatever it is they do, and they walk to the tap and they stand in the queue and they wait for their turn to fill a bucket or a drum or whatever it is that they do, and then they bring it back. So you would ask the question, why are they training plumbers in that community? But what are they going to do? There is no plumbing in the community.
Exactly.
And so one of the things I was talking to these young, there were about 10 of them, talking to these young plumbers about is saying, well, you know, here's an opportunity for you. And the thing that we've got to think about with rain harvesting, so we're stuck in our heads as South Africans because we haven't really got ourselves into rain harvesting. We're stuck in our heads that you've got to have a downpipe going into a tank right next to the house, and then you use it to water your plants. That's like what we think about when we think about rain harvesting. But you know, without, again, I could spend an hour or more talking about this, but there are so many options that are available to you and so many things that you can use the water for, that it becomes like the most versatile way of collecting water. So, you know, a borehole's great, but you have to have water. You have to have groundwater near you.
Yeah.
And then you have to have good quality groundwater that you can actually use, which is a challenge. And you also have to have a decent yield so that you can use it on a constant basis. So borehole's a great option, but it doesn't work for everybody. You also need to have electricity in order to pump it.
Yes. And the fact is that now we hear about the regulations being updated again about boreholes need to be registered and more strictly regulated and those kind of things. So it's going to be more difficult to just get somebody out.
And
besides the cost and all the other factors that you just mentioned, it's now going to become more stricter for you to just put up Duncan mentioned it again off air before we started recording. He said, you know, boreholes are supposed to be, 100 meters apart or that? And I mean, look at the houses today that they are built. Everybody subdivides their yards, and those boreholes are just becoming closer and closer and closer, exceeding that regulation, you know, the distance that should be apart.
And that's it's again, I think you could do it. It might be great to get some borehole experts in to talk on your podcast about boreholes, because there's a lot that you need to think about with boreholes. But the main thing I think that's important for us all to understand is it's a finite resource under the ground. It's like an underground dam or an underground river. You know, it's great until everybody starts pumping the water out of it.
It can be depleted.
It will be emptied. It will be emptied. And then you've got a great big hole
under
the ground. And over time, what's going to happen is the ground's going to subside down into there. So I'm not knocking boreholes. I'm saying boreholes are a really great option in certain circumstances.
So imagine everybody doing borehole and no one doing rain, no one doing grey water. And then it's a Cape Town scenario with sinkholes.
Yes,
and
with day zero approaching very fast for the whole country.
Yeah.
For that.
So, like, even in the Cape Town scenario, I mean, their dams were like right down to the bottom. All they really needed to do is dig a meter out of that dam and they would have created another million liters of water for rainfall again. Mm. So, you know, simple things like that. But for us, rainwater is like, it's a source,
mm.
and it's a source from above. And yeah. as a child, you used to go, catch the water in your mouth, you know, and it tastes good. It's only when it gets on the roof does it get a little bit dirty.
Yeah.
And the other thing about what our products bring in terms of our rain harvesting is that our products are designed to catch as much water as you can.
Yeah.
You know, whereas your traditional little rain heads and stuff can only collect, say, 0.5 liters of water
yeah.
per second.
Again, before we started recording, you were explaining the differences between how many liters per second or per hour or whatever the different devices can capture. And then what about the rest of the rain that comes down your roof? That if it can't absorb enough, as much as is coming down, that gets lost again. That goes down the drain.
And think of Joburg. We have – firstly, Joburg is not a real borehole-friendly type of environment. It's, you know, acid mine drainage. But also the yields in Joburg aren't great. We don't get like 9,000 liters of water coming out of the ground.
Mm.
Mostly in Joburg, the average is between 800 liters and maybe 1.2, you know. And that's just, you know, an average depth of 40 to 80 meters.
Mm.
That's it. But with rain now, in terms of us capturing water, imagine the areas we get good rainfall. We get over 650, between 600 and 900 mils of rain per year in Joburg. And that's pretty good, decent rainfall. We get rainfall probably 9 months of the year. In winter, we might get minimal 5 mils for the month or something like that. But it's about storage.
Mm.
And it's about how much water, especially in Joburg, when we have those heavy downpours. Like a rain head like this, okay, that I'll show you here, is 3 liters per second, as opposed to you get one in some of the DR stores there, you'll get them, they're plastic on top here. You'll see them, they can only catch about 0.5 liters of. So this little rain head over here has been designed to catch 6 times amounts of water. So if you're in an area where you don't get a lot of rain, that 6 times more water is very, very important.
Exactly.
You know, Willem, besides that, with this particular product, this is where plumbers and the consumers need to really just start to understand the products and why certain products work the way they do. So, you know, we spoke about global warming and we spoke about these really intense rainstorms that we're getting, particularly in areas like KwaZulu-Natal, the Eastern Cape, Gauteng, Northwest Province, Limpopo. We seem to get these really, really intense storms of late. Now, when you've got a rain head on the side of your building that only collects 0.5 liters per second, when you have these really intense rainstorms, it can't take all that water because the volume of water, we've seen it, you know, in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the streets are flooding.
Yes.
There's huge volumes of water coming down. So now what happens is if your rain head can't take that volume of water in, you suddenly have a fountain on the side of your house or the side of your building because it physically cannot take that water in. So choosing the correct product that's designed specifically to do the job that it's supposed to do is really important. And thinking about the quality of products you choose, you know.
But that, Brendan, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that leads into certainly people need to know which products serve which purpose, which product is better applicable for in this type of scenario or this type of scenario. So that leads to training. I mean, who do you guys offer training? How do people learn exactly that what you just said?
Yeah, so Brendan and I have been, I think we've trained over 600 people already.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
600 plumbers.
600 plumbers.
Plumbers. Yeah. Only plumbers. 600 yeah. Only plumbers.
Yeah. Mm. So at PRB, we've done 2 training events. We've gone to suppliers where we do 3-day training where we train up to 100 people there. So we're not only training plumbers, we're also training suppliers. And then we're fortunate to be able to go and work with government departments, you know, Olifantsfontein and these places that we're getting into. And eventually we're going to be training and adding value to plumbers to teach them on design.
Mm.
because it's not just about using the right product.
Exactly.
It's about actually using the right pipe sizes, yes. You know, the volumes, because you get backflow, you get all sorts of different things. And then from there, we can go on to commercial. So like training plumbers how to handle a school's stormwater management and being able to collect big bulk types of water. Mm. So we have commercial heads and stuff like that. So, and then there's the design aspect where, you know, you get to be creative because typically you've got to do your investigations. You've got to make sure that the volume of water, like you've done a study on your roofs, you've studied about how much rain you want to actually save. You've looked at this, you've looked at your rainfall, you've looked at, you know, everything you've done the research on. And then you apply the products to what you've learned and apply it into your system. And that creates a whole new
I mean, even something to consider that plumbers should, when they're designing the system, and not only know what product serves which purpose and is more better equipped for which type of scenario, but let's say, for instance, where you were speaking earlier of gravity flow and pump flow and those kind of things, because they have to know when they design that system. They have to take that into consideration as well. Which tank is going to have a gravity flow that serves the, you know, the wherever the water is going to be used for, which one will have to have a pump. So certainly those aspects also have to be considered.
Yeah. excuse me. So Willem, there's so many aspects. As I've said before, you know, we're generally talking to everybody out in the industry. They've always had this idea of this great big tank stuck on the side of the house with the downpipe sticking into it, and that's it. That's the sum total of it. And there's so much more to it. Just to add on to what Duncan has been saying about the training, so we've partnered with Blue Lever on their Green Plumber program that was launched this past weekend. We've done some chats at Plumbing Academy KZN with Mahen and Carmen. And we're open to any other colleges that are busy training young apprentice plumbers, so that we start introducing it to the plumbers as they're doing their apprenticeship and as they those young plumbers that are coming through, so that they're aware of it as they come through. And then I think what's really, really important is we can't get to everyone.
Yeah.
You know, we've worked really hard, and as Duncan said, I think, you know, we've trained over 600 plumbers already, but we can only get to so many. You know, there's 100,000 plumbers in South Africa. So if we train 100 a month, it's going to take us 1,000 months to get to everybody. You could
start a business purely out of training.
I mean, it's physically impossible to get to everybody. So Rain Harvesting, on their website, rainharvesting.com, has a really great online training also available. You know, we believe that it's always good to have a bit of in-person training, but we just can't get to everybody. And we can't be in Kimberley and Polokwane and Mbombela. You know, we can't get to everywhere. It's just not possible. So there's a really, really, really good training available there. And then they also have a great YouTube channel. I think there's over 150 different videos, different installation videos, education videos and things that are available. So Rain Harvesting has made it simple and easy for guys to learn about rain harvesting. And it's all available on the website, and it's super expensive. No, it's completely it's free.
It took me a couple of seconds.
No, it's all completely free. So, you know, it's available there for everybody. Just from a PRRB's perspective, we have submitted it for CPD accreditation, and we've received that accreditation. So if somebody does go through the training, they can claim the points.
Is that the one that you call the one that I've got you on this brochure pamphlet? Yeah, the 12 steps of rain harvesting.
Yeah. Correct.
All right. And again, that's also free of charge to the plumbers?
Completely free. And that's a really great look for anybody that's in any way, shape, or form interested in rain harvesting. The 12 steps training is like, it covers everything that you need to know. And, you know, I find myself even now going back to the 12 steps because there's actually so much information in there that you tend to miss it sometimes. So it's worthwhile. I do. I go back onto it because there's things that I missed the first or second time around.
Yeah.
So Willem, so how I got into learning, you know, about rain harvesting was a process, and it started with a bit of research and doing that. And I had a desire to, you know, to look into this because of the need that came out of the crisis. And obviously was driven to look around the world and find, but when I found rain harvesting, I just found it, they made things so easy. And the products that they had were so sexy and just, you know, they excited me. And then I was excited to learn something new. So the growth mindset kicked in. And then obviously I did the 12 steps and all that. And then beyond that, what also is nice about them is they have calculators. So we call them interactive tools on the website. So you can calculate your roof space, how much volume of first flush you need. They've got tools that, you know, in terms of how much water you should store. They have tools that that help you with design. So you can even send in all your designs, your photos, and everything like that for your project that you're about to start, and learn with us, and we will help you design a system that now you can go out and then potentially send you the products that you need or in your design, and basically you can get that all sent to your doorstep and start your project. So we help you step by step. And then obviously then what we're trying to do is also our new website that we're creating, which will probably be launched in, I think, October this year, is we've got great stories from around the world. Mm. We've got harvesters. So if you look on the little pamphlet there, we've got join our WhatsApp, join our harvesters. So become a harvester and start, you know, getting involved in harvesting water.
Actual
and helping people.
People that can give testimony to how it has been effective for them and the impact that it has had.
And that's a movement. That's a story. Mm. And when I look at rain harvesting, I don't just look at it as just something, you know, summa summa. I really put my heart into helping people collect rainwater.
Mm.
That's what it is. That is the why behind what we do.
He's a little bit passionate about rain. Just a little bit.
But I think everybody should be.
Brennan. I agree.
I think so. I mean, you mentioned off air again. I keep reiterating that we had a long conversation off air. but you said something about a third of the people in Australia use rainwater.
Yeah, so Australia is, if I'm not... If I am correct, I think it's two-thirds of Australia. One-third of Australia. So 6 million people out of 20 million, let's say, or 18 million people in Australia live off rainwater.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think of Australia, and Australia is very similar to South Africa. Our climate and everything is, you know, we've got the dry patches, we've got all of that. So 6 million people that rely on rainwater, that's a lot.
So that's again why I want to go back to the importance and the value of the training and these courses that you've put together. I mean, the 12 steps of rain harvesting, the stuff that's available in YouTube on rain harvesting, the brand's website, and then the interactions, the in-person training that you guys go and give at the colleges, at the training centers, etc. The value thereof extends further than, yes, they can get CPD points for the 12 steps of rain harvesting if they're PRB registered. But the fact is now you're starting to educate plumbers about water preservation, and the plumbers on their turn can educate the consumer. Mm-hmm. And that can create a greater awareness of not just the one silver bullet, but certainly part of this, the greater solution. The combination of solutions put together to achieve sustainability for our water in South Africa. Mm. I mean, and then the other value is if you know these things, if you undergo the training, you can expand your service offerings. And in the dry times, Duncan, I know that he keeps reiterating the fact that if there's no water, plumbers cannot plumb.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that. I mean, water can't come out of the taps. So what pipes are you going to, and taps are you going to install if there's no water? Mm. And toilets need to flush, and they need to flush with water. Where are you going? So plumbers can't plumb if there's no water. So here's a solution that you can use as a plumber. Add that to your business and your service offerings and be part of the greater solution of now educating and creating awareness about water consumption, water preservation, and sustainability overall.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah. You know, Willem, so So this is, I was having a conversation funny this morning with Lee, along the same kind of lines. So what's the solution now to the water crisis right now? It's been backup water storage. Mm. So every man and his dog is putting up backup systems, and that is great. Okay. And then after the backup systems came boreholes, and boreholes are great, but one needs to think about these things in a holistic kind of view. How many days of backup water storage can you put
exactly
in a house? So what we find is generally, it's about 2 days worth, okay? Which, if there's a leak and the municipality is fixing the leak, it's probably okay. But our issues are not the municipality fixing the leak. Our issues are going much beyond that. You know, we see places where the water's off for 7 days, 10 days.
15, just the other day, 15 days of water disruptions.
There's no way, there's absolutely no way you can put 15 days worth of backup water storage anywhere. It's just not going to happen. Likewise with borehole. Borehole has, you might not be able to drill a borehole at your premises, you know, or you might have bad quality water, or you might have very low yields. So what we're trying to educate guys is that rain harvesting can be used anywhere, literally anywhere. You know, whether you go for a small tank, a big tank, above ground, below ground tank, a tank at the house, tank away from the house, little DIY sort of downpipe diverters. There's so many options. It's a versatile thing that you can use. And we're not saying that rain harvesting is going to supply all your needs necessarily.
It's not the silver bullet.
Exactly.
It's part of a combination of solutions, but it certainly plays a major role.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the point. While at the same time, it's free and it helps prevent flooding and it's great for plants. You know, we mustn't forget that, you know. Like I grow all my own veggies. And I promise you, there's nothing like rainwater for your plants.
Mm. Just a quick one. So we've been speaking about the training that's available. We've been speaking about educating our plumbers and educating the consumer, creating that awareness. But let's get quickly back to giving more knowledge. It's just the basic knowledge to people. What are the key elements of a rainwater harvesting system?
So the basics, and maybe Dunks, you can just help us by showing. So obviously you start with a rain head. So these are various different names. Ours is generally called the leaf catcher. The nice thing about rain harvesting is they've got about 20 odd different ones that fit virtually any application, where currently in South Africa, they're all pretty much the standard one that you see here. But rain harvesting has got a whole range, really sexy ones, ones that don't splash. ones that self-clean. So you start with that. And the purpose of that is really to take the big particles away. Because, you know, as Duncan said, the rain, when it comes out the cloud, you know, it's clean. It's perfect. Yeah. You don't get better water than that.
You can literally open your mouth and drink it.
100%.
Yeah.
You know, it's then when it falls through the atmosphere, and more importantly, when it gets on our roof.
Yeah.
What's dust, on your roof, Willem?
Dust, bird poop.
Yeah.
You know, rotten leaves in your gutters.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what puts people off. So the first step is then that product, a rain head of some sort, which then takes the leaves, the sticks, the feathers, whatever big things are on your roof, takes them away. I don't think we have a first flush here.
No.
But the next thing is a first flush, and essentially all that does, if you think about washing your car, Willem. What's the first step when you wash your car?
You obviously wet your car to get the dust off.
Exactly. You hose it down, huh?
Yeah.
And so essentially it's exactly the same thing. So what we're doing is we're saying, well, the first bit of rain that comes down that falls on the roof, we've now taken the leaves and the sticks and the feathers and those sort of things off. Now there's bird poop and dust and whatever else there could be. And the first bit of rain washes that off the roof, doesn't it, into your gutter. So now how do we stop that from going into the tank? Because I don't want that in my,
obviously,
my water.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So how do we stop that from this? So it's a very simple process. So the first bit of rain collects in a thing we call a first flush. And the first flushes, generally, there's different types, and they get quite technical, and rain harvesting has quite a wide range of really great products. But essentially what it does, if you think about a pipe with a float in it, and then as this dirty water fills up this pipe, the float obviously moves to the top. Mm. And at the top, there's a little taper, and then it closes off. So the first bit of water that washes all that dust and stuff gets captured there, doesn't go in the tank. And then when the float gets to the top, it closes it off, and then the clean water runs into your tank. So now we've taken the things that worry you, hey?
Yeah.
The leaves, the sticks, the feathers, the whatever, the body dust.
The big stuff.
The
and the smaller stuff.
We've taken it all out. So the water then that runs into your tank, look, I mean, there's no way that you're ever going to get it like absolutely –
Yeah, spot on, yeah.
Well, I suppose you could, but it would cost you an absolute fortune. Mm. But you've taken by far the majority of any sort of contaminants out of the system before it goes into your tank. And that then means that what are we sitting with? Essentially clean water.
Mm.
There might be a little bit of organic material in there, and then your treatment and filtration of that, depending on what you want to do with it, becomes very simple. The last thing I just want to touch on is the basics of overflow of rain harvesting, is the overflow. So we see a lot of issues with overflows in South Africa. Is guys are used to doing backup water storage tanks. So it's quite simple if you think about it logically. If I've got a 25 millimeter inlet, and I've got a 40 millimeter overflow, there's absolutely no way that I can overfill my tank. If I've got a 25 millimeter inlet and I've got a 40 millimeter outlet overflow, it's impossible to overfill the tank. And what guys tend to do is they don't realize that now with the rain harvesting, I've got a 110 mil inlet.
Yeah.
That's bringing potentially a huge volume of water into my tank.
Mm-hmm.
And if I've got a 110 mil inlet, and I've only got a 40 millimeter overflow, I have a problem.
Mm. Somewhere a pipe is going to come loose and going to leak back. Or push back in.
Exactly. So you've got to have your overflows got to be the same size or larger than your inlet. Okay. So that's a big mistake guys make. Mm. And then Duncan was just showing you the Mozzie stopper there. So even with backup water storage tanks, this is something that people don't recognize. Okay. Animals, whether they are insects, rodents, birds, lizards, snakes, any animal needs water.
They want to get in there.
They want to get in there.
And they can smell it.
Yeah.
So whether you've got a backup water storage tank or a rain harvesting tank or a borehole tank or a whatever tank you have, please, for goodness sake, just put a screen, because Willem, we have found in backup water storage tanks, dead birds in the tank, dead rats in the tank. You will not smell it. You will not taste it. You will not see it unless you go and look in the tank. Yeah. You'll just get sick. And if they don't have a Mozzie screen, and I'd want to take a second to talk about the Mozzie screen, it will be chock full of mosquito larvae.
Yeah.
So Mozzie screens are really important. It's not just about putting a screen.
It's very strong.
Yeah. Anything above a 1 millimeter gauge,
yeah,
a mosquito will go through.
Yeah.
So if you just take a sieve and you stick a sieve over, some sieve that you found somewhere, yes, maybe you'll keep out the rats and the birds and the lizards and whatnot.
But not a mosquito.
Not a mosquito. A mosquito needs 1 millimeter hole to be able to get through. So you know, protecting your tank from ingress from pests is really, really a critical part of the whole system. And the side of it that people tend to forget about is the overflow. And the lid.
Mm.
You know, a lot of some of the tanks that are available on the market now, the lids just sort of sit there, and they've actually got quite a lot of gaps around them.
Where mosquitoes and stuff can get in.
Anything can get in there. You know, a rat. A rat doesn't need a lot of space to get in there. And think about a little lizard and those sort of things. So we're going to need to have tanks. There's no way we – whether you're doing a borehole or a backup water storage or rain hole, we're going to need tanks. So in South Africa, we're going to need a lot of tanks. And we've got to think about how we protect the water once it's in that tank, because we don't think about it.
Exactly. The fact is now you're trying to solve one problem of the water shortage – by storing water, but if you don't think of those things, you're creating another one.
Potentially, yeah.
So think of the overflow. Let's say, for instance, you've got the backup system, whatever, and that water is pushing. Now you've converted to a rain system, and you're pushing that water, and that overflow is too small. Where do you think the water is going to pop out? It pops up the lid.
Yeah.
And then that opens up, and then what gets in there? Boom.
Everything.
You know, so things like that you need to take into consideration. Yeah. So it's education. It's about just, you know, making sure that the water that you're getting is safe and it's clean.
And then it's one thing to have this podcast, but I want to go back to that training that's available.
Yeah.
Your training course that you've put together, the one that specifically is CPD accredited, 12 steps of rain harvesting. But then again, to our plumbers that are listening and watching, it's important to go and get the training so that you know about all of these things, and that when you install a system like this, that you take all of that into consideration. Because if you just go and purchase the stuff and you install it and you haven't considered this, that, might potentially sit with bigger problems.
Yeah, Willem, it's like anything in life. You don't know until you know.
Yeah.
You know. So I'll tell you that both of us learned by making mistakes. So my first rain harvesting system that I put in was literally downpipe into tank.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything with the overflows. I didn't do any. I made a lot of mistakes. And Duncan's made mistakes, you know. Yeah. So a lot of what we, besides the experience that we're leaning on from rain harvesting and the really quality education that they give, but a lot of what we've come across is what we've done ourselves, the mistakes that we've made ourselves, and also the mistakes that we've seen others make in the industry. You know, I'm completely redoing my whole system at home because I made a lot of mistakes the first time around. And so we encourage guys, it costs you nothing. Mm. It costs you a little bit of your time. Mm. You know, reach out to us, find out when the next training session is. I'm sure we'll be having one fairly soon within the next month or so. And come along and attend. And I think most importantly is when you do attend these training sessions, is ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, talk to us about what you've done, or just reach out and ask questions. You know, if you've done a system and it's not working ideally, maybe we can help you. Because in a lot of ways, it's an old thing, but in a lot of ways for South Africans, doing it the right way is quite new.
Mm. Yeah.
So on our website, sorry, Willem, on our website, we have obviously access to the training. We have access to design elements, so you can send your PDF drawings, your pictures of what you're wanting to achieve. Then we will obviously assign a kind of like a formatted design for you, the material that you need, the fittings that you need, whatever it is. And then the other thing is we've got downloads on every single product. So if you want to install this, we've got a download with everything that you need. And then we've got a video attached to the download that shows you how to install it.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, Brendan said, we've got 150 YouTube channel videos of how to install, how to do this. If you've got a problem with the tank gauge plus or something like that, it's all on the website. So it's all self-taught stuff.
It is.
We keep interrupting because now we get going. You see, so they do a lot of these things to make life simple. They don't just produce a product and chuck it out into the market. So, you know, if we look at this, the tank gauge plus. On the side there, you see, I haven't got my glasses on. There is, you'll see a QR code. I don't know if the camera can see it. It doesn't matter.
This is how to install.
And literally, again, I'll tell you a real life example. Is somebody had purchased a tank gauge plus, and they were struggling with it.
Mm.
And they were struggling to get it right. And Duncan and I went to see this person, and we also were having some challenges. And we then just scanned the QR code, and we literally followed the steps from 1 to 2 to 3, step by step. You know, plumbers and men in general, you know, like
instructions.
And I promise you, Willem, it took us 3 minutes. 3 minutes, and everything was solved, and it was working perfectly. Because they've made all these tools available. They're trying to make it so simple and easy for the plumber or the installer or whoever it is. They try to make it as simple and easy for you as possible by just following the steps or giving you a video on how to do it. They even tell you what tools to use, what screws to use. So it's really well done, and it's worthwhile plumbers checking it out.
But I think in addition to that, the fact that so much material is available for them to see how things should be done, must be done, the easiest way, the best way, the proper way. I think it's also then, in addition to that, extremely valuable that the two of you are here, that is a phone call away or an email away to say, listen, but I have a question that I can't ask the YouTube video. I have a question that I can't ask the video on the website. So here's my question. Can you just answer it? Because I was looking at this video, but I have a question about it. So that's where the value comes in of having people, the brand, the people in the country here, and that are actually from the plumbing industry, that actually understands water flow, water infrastructure, not just any RP that you know, is trying to give them advice or instructions or educational information.
Yeah.
So I was just going to say, on our little pamphlet that we have here, and most of the events that we do, the training stuff, you've got access to interactive tools through the codes, our WhatsApp channel. So you can, you know, you can send us messages, and you can, we've got a whole harvesting WhatsApp channel so that everybody jumps on, and now they can share their installs and, you know, some of their designs and stuff like that. So yeah, for us, it's creating harvesters. That's what we want. We just want everybody to harvest rain and take the pressure off our infrastructure.
And that network is powerful, Willem. So we've always got this backup in Australia of real technical, 35 years of technical expertise, you know, that we can lean on at any time. But the advantage of having starting to build a community, and Duncan often talks about building this community, the advantage of building that community is guys come across things that we've never thought of, never heard of, never seen, and, you know, any plumber will tell you that a plumber always says, I thought I'd seen everything, and now I've come across something different and something new. And the advantage of that is somebody can ask a question and somebody else says, yes, I came across something similar, and I tried this, and this seemed to work, or, you know, that seemed to work, or whatever it is, because you can come across really different and unique situations in any installation.
Listen, like all good things do, everything has to come to an end eventually. So we're running out of time for this podcast, this specific chat that we're having now. And I know that we can carry on for hours. I've got two more questions for you, but let's see how quickly we can just give a brief answer.
So you're saying we must be quick. I must say yes or no,
because it depends on my response there. Because if I ask questions that I can elaborate. So two questions, very briefly. Firstly, is rainwater safe to use? And I think that's a relative question, because it depends on what you want to use it for, or can it be made safe? And then the one that I want to close the episode off with is, plumbers might be sitting and watching this episode and say, where can I begin? How do I start?
Okay, so when it comes to safety, I catch the rainwater in my mouth. It's perfectly safe. And like you said, it depends on where you want to take it. So if you are looking to wash your car, fill your pool, water your garden, flush your toilet, 100% perfectly safe. You can use it. And it requires a basic filtration. As soon as you step up to the next level where you want to now use it for, you know, potentially drinking or washing machine showers, stuff like that. Then you require filtration. So then your pre-filtration, your in-tank filtration, and your post-filtration has to be, you know, to the standard. And and drinking standard is possible.
All right.
Very possible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, let me say this. Out of all the alternative water sources that are available, rainwater is the easiest.
Yeah.
To treat to potable standard.
Wow.
So in short, the answer to your question is yes. And there are thousands of people across the world that rely and drink rainwater exclusively. Millions of people.
Yeah.
But we do recommend that you put it through some filtration. Okay. And that could be maybe for a different – I think it would be good for you to have a water filtration experts come in and talk to you about that. So that's the one thing. And then the second thing is, how do plumbers get involved?
Yeah.
Very simple. Just get started. You know, reach out to us. Go onto the website, www.rainharvest.com. Or contact Duncan or myself, just get started. Start with the 12 steps. It requires, if you do it online, it requires an hour of your time, and it's a great place to get started. So, yeah, awesome. Go for it. Get out there, guys.
And just for the plumbers now who are watching and listening, I want to say quickly, just to distinguish, we constantly speak and use the words and the terms rain harvesting or rainwater harvesting, but your product's brand is actually called Rain Harvesting.
Correct.
And when they search for that on the internet so that they can get going and get started, that's what they should search for. One word, Rain Harvesting. Mm. And I think we'll put it in the bottom of the screen, also your website.
That'll be great, yeah.
Gents, as usual, it was fun having you. It was quite a serious conversation, this one, with fewer jokes and humor in it. But it's a serious topic. Yep. And I think that the information you shared is extremely valuable. Something new, doing the proper way, is fairly new. Mm. And I want to, again, thank you for joining me in studio today.
Thanks, Willem.
Thank you, Willem.
Awesomeness.